Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. Listen, I'm buzzing today.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm properly buzzing.
Yeah.
Because we have got a bona fide, can't believe we've managed to get this guy on the podcast.
I know.
Legend. Right? It is. I can't believe it. Listen, I feel like it sounds like I'm being a fanboy now, but listen.
Show, man.
We have got a legend, right? Man United legend, but since then has gone to show people that he's just a fucking top bloke. I love this guy. I've worked with him, and I honestly love this guy. It's Patrice Evra. Patrice Evra is on the podcast. Hello, mate.
Hello, Rom.
Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Oh, thank you, man. And about what you're saying, it's just like the same for me. And since I met you, and actually I feel like a really strong connection.
Yes, me too.
Mm. I feel like we are like brothers from another mother.
Yes.
And you know, I'm so happy. Like when you tell
your
me,
your mother's
like,
got much better genetics than mine.
There we go. He just out. So no, I'm happy. I'm happy, but the only things like you bring me here to that buzzy place, and my brother were nearly fight with some fan because they want so many pictures.
Well, what
we
happened?
No, we were like, okay, we are late.
I booked you a car.
You're here in Soho.
I saw it out, I saw it out the car myself.
Okay,
you.
Yeah, I know. I will give you the money back.
No, you know, I don't need the money. I'm just telling you that I saw
it. Anyway, so we came and I came in the middle of that busy place and everyone like was asking in pictures. So I was nice to do one, two. And my brother started
Where
to say,
was
like,
this?
Look.
Outside there?
Outside, just outside there. And after the guys was like, come on, what you like? And my brother was like, no, it's just because we got a job, you have to understand. And the guys was like, no, but we don't want picture with you, only with your brother. And my brother started to say,
oh my God,
you know what,
serious?
Don't make me. Yeah, I'm serious.
But did that just happen? Honestly?
Yeah, that just happened.
You're exaggerating, because I can't tell if you're winding me up or not.
Okay, when my brother come, you ask him. But after like, the guys, he say, when we left, my brother say, oh, we are late just because of you. And after the guys, Zillow was like, nah, come on. And my brother was nice, saying, oh, okay, I'm joking, but we need to
yeah, but you were late.
Yeah.
I know your brother said he was joking, but you were late.
No,
you
but
were
first like. Of all, like, 1 week ago, you say the meeting will be at 2. And after I got a message, like, yesterday, I think, like, 1:40.
Yeah.
Who gave you that kind of meeting, like, 1? Why?
That was
1:40. 1:45. 1. But I never, like, 1:40. So right. You have to do something and you make me come here.
No, but you said, I got the message from Josh, your guy.
I don't know him, but keep going.
He said, 1:40 is fine. So then I expected. So
he
then I thought, okay, 1:40 is fine.
Yeah, but
I
was
the car.
Like here 1:35, but because of your friend outside,
yeah, but I
your
can't.
Fan base, because I know you do it on purpose, because actually, he was one of them. I promise you, I swear on. He say like, why you don't come to Arsenal? We need a proper left back.
Did he say that?
I swear to God.
Shut up.
I swear to God, I'm not joking. And I was like, no, you know, I'm retired. He said, no, even if you retire, please come to Arsenal. I say, wow. From an Arsenal fan to tell me that, I was like, wow.
Do you know
I'm
what?
Going to have
do, you,
a good day.
Do you know what? Let's talk football for a little bit, because obviously you're a Man United legend, right? Obviously. And I've gone through the experience with you, the same experience that I went through with Gary Neville, which is when you were playing, I fucking hated you. Like properly, properly hated you. Thought you were a prick. Just every time I see
you,
I absolutely fucking hate Patrice Evra so much, right?
And now the chemistry.
Yeah, and now, obviously. But it's the same thing with Gary Neville. I used to fucking hate Gary Neville. Like, obviously, I hate Gary Neville, right? And then I saw his punditry and I thought, Jesus, I love this dude. Like, I properly love Gary Neville, right? Yeah. Same thing with you. I I could not stand, like, honestly, fuck yeah, the hatred I had for you. You're just a tormentor of Arsenal, right?
I just hate you.
I sort of see you on social media, and I've been, like, had the privilege of working with you now.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I've fallen in love with you, Patrice. But
no, me the same. I tell you, the only things is when I meet you and you talk about the jacket and my kids, they painted, we talked many times
so
about
when Patrice
it.
Came on League of Their Own, and he was wearing a jacket.
Yeah.
It was a nice jacket. It's an unusual jacket. Mm.
Yeah.
It had like paint.
Keep going, yeah.
It had paint marks on it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I said, this is a comedy, it's League of Their Own is a comedy show. So I said, have you just come from decorating or something?
Yeah.
You still, every single time I've met you since then, you brought it up.
No, because got rid of the jacket.
No, because he said that in front of a million people and everyone laughed about his joke.
Horrible
but
feeling.
I don't think his joke was funny. And actually, it's like the pant was like my kids made it. So,
you're such a liar.
But why you don't let me talk?
Like, sorry, go
wait,
on.
You invite me in your podcast, and I feel like you are the only one allowed to talk.
Sorry, no, go for it. Sorry.
So, no, he upset me because that jacket, you know, my kids, I think they put lots of effort. So,
yeah, I can tell.
So, when I tell him that, I was really upset. Yeah. So, for the first time, I don't know him. Mm. You know, he's talking that way straight away about my jacket. I didn't think he was like cool, but after I discovering him, and he's just a special guy. And apart from me, he let his wife feeding his kid in
let me explain this.
No, but because my guys do the search, and that's why
I did Patrice's show, right?
Mm.
I love this game. Yeah, that's what the show's called, right?
Yeah.
So I went there and I did it, and he had like a sheet of research stuff, like information on me, right? And one of the things he said, he started whipping through all of the different facts. Mm. And one of the facts was, you and your wife feed your kids in the backseat of your car.
That's right, isn't it?
No, but why is that a thing on a sheet? What is that?
No,
why was that there?
No, because she said, like, I think it was nice. Like, it's nice and not nice because she was, like, following you. Maybe you have some work to do. And she didn't want to stay home. She wanted maybe to support you. But just like she feed your kids in the backseat, it's nothing wrong with that.
It's a weird fact. I would say it's a weird fact.
Is that something you do?
It's a weird fact to include.
But they put it on my...
I know. But it's not. But there's a lot of things that have gone wrong there.
Okay.
One, somebody decided to put that on your document. Two, you've read that document.
Yeah.
And three, you've chosen that to be one of the things that you say to me. It's a weird choice, isn't it?
It is weird. I love you.
Where do you think that facts come from?
I don't know. I must have said it in something. I don't know. You must have that. But you're known for you're a great pundit, Patrice.
Yeah.
Also known for speaking your mind. You just don't hold back, particularly about Arsenal. I mean, he absolutely.
Wow. It's about not all the bad. I can't say I love Arsenal, but I respect Arsenal. It's just like, it was a team when I was going to play against them. I know 100% I will win the game.
That's a nice feeling.
Because even when I play against opponent, I won't mention the name. After 36 minutes, they were asking me to swap in shirt. And I've got like player that play for Arsenal. When we were on the tunnel, he was like, Patrice, I was just looking at your team and my team. I know I was already lost the game. And even when Robin Van Persie came and joined United before the game against Arsenal, he said, come on, Patrice, you need to motivate everyone. You're the captain. And I was like, relax. They are my baby. We're going to give them some milk and they're going to go back to London. So it's not because of me. Like, you know, like even Sir Alex Ferguson. No, because I need to clarify that because like I respect the Arsenal fan. It's just like something like...
Some of them.
Yeah. And like Sir Alex Ferguson, before the Arsenal game, I remember his speech was, I promise you, like 20 seconds. He was like,
"It's Arsenal.
Guys, it's Sunday.
It's Sunday.
No, he started like that. It's Sunday. It's a beautiful weather. This team is not the Arsenal team I used to play against. So please, I don't want no one to fuck up my Sunday. Enjoy your game. I promise you.
That is not the speech. Are you serious?
I swear on my kids.
Wow.
So now, yeah.
So basically, Patrice, we did League of Their Own road trip, and Patrice and I were getting the car to the airport.
Yeah.
and Patrice found out that I was an Arsenal fan, and he sort of started talking very honestly about Arsenal. Mm. And I thought to myself, this is funny. It's funny hearing Patrice Evra sort of talk honestly, getting the, his side of things, how it was at Man United. And then I watched Arsenal against Sheffield United, maybe two nights later.
The bigger one.
Yeah, he said exactly the same thing. Like, so I was sat in the car.
He's
talking to me like this now, but he would never say that in public, right? Then I'm watching him on TV.
Rome, I was just practicing with you to make sure, like, I don't forget anything when I say it on TV. No, because I'm someone, like, sometimes he please people and he doesn't, but I'm someone, I'm straight. No, because I'm in front of a camera.
Yeah.
I'm just telling the same things, you know. And I remember after that game, that Champions League game, and, you know, we won 3-0, and that journalist, he came, he was like, wow, 3-0 is a little bit harsh. He doesn't... And I was like, sorry, today it was like 11 men against 11 babies. Mm. And because I say that, like, it start to be big and people start to say, like, I don't respect that. But no, like, my first Premier League game I watched in all my life, Thierry Henry invited me. I was still playing for Monaco. He was in Highbury. And I saw Arsenal play. And I was like, wow, I really want to play in this league. So I have like a really good relationship, I will say, with Arsenal. It's just like when I talk, people just like, he's killing us. But no, I would like the fan when I see them outside. You see, like just that fan, he was like, please come to play for Arsenal. But I can like also like talking like really bad about Man United right now because we are the one like struggling.
Yeah.
So I'm just like straight, you know.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's an honor to have you on the podcast. Thank you, man, for giving up your time.
Here's a little bit that we like to call, how did you get into hip hop?
So you are a hip hop fan, aren't you?
Massive hip hop fan.
You're a massive hip hop fan. And I know from talking to you about this before that you've got some pretty strong opinions about it. But how did you... What was the first sort of hip hop you started listening to?
My first album,
yeah,
you will laugh. Which one? The one I post... It was my album or the one I just listening? Because it's different. My first album I stole on the store. I stole it on the store.
What was that?
It was Cypress Hill.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
So, yeah, that's the first.
Which one? Was it Black Sunday? Or right, okay.
Yeah.
So you stole Black Sunday?
So, yeah, I stole it. Like,
where was this?
It was in Carrefour in France when I was living... in Les Ulysses is a street where I come from. And we went to the shop and, you know, they were putting the music. I like it. And I just put the CD in my pocket and I left the megastore.
Jesus Christ.
I used to do that with cassette singles. And
so this is my first. But
you
my,
got a lot of
yeah, but my first proper album, it was like the Wu-Tang Clan, of course. That was the
36
one.
Chambers?
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, you, get off my cloud. You don't know me and you don't know my style. What did you think of the Cypress Hill album?
It's one song like Inside of the McBrain, you know that song? I just love it and we were like dancing, me and my friend, you know, doing the same move and I love it.
Have you stayed listening to Cypress Hill then now?
No, not that much, but I'm like more like old school, I will say, more like the Wu-Tang, you know, KRS-One, Mobb Deep, Farside, Roots, you know, I've got like a lot of my playlists, like Method Man, of course, is part of the Wu-Tang.
Yeah. Is he your favorite Wu-Tang member?
Yeah, he was my favorite.
Yeah.
I love all Dirty Bastard because he was just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, shoot me, yo, shoot me, yeah, shoot me, yes, you know, I love him. Shoot me, yo, shoot me, yeah, shoot me, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Off on the natural charge, born for yards. Yeah, from the home of the Dodgers, Brooklyn squad. Wu-Tang killer, he's on the swarm. Rain on your college ass disco dorm. For you to even touch my skill, you gotta go to one killer B, and he ain't gonna kill now. I love that craziness, but
you know,
my man was Method.
Have you been watching the documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, that was quite a bit of an act, obviously.
It was,
I didn't realise because he's like quite a chilled sort of family man.
It's such a mad persona to take. It was so... That's the thing about Wu-Tang. They had such strong personalities. an old dirty bastard. It was such a weird thing to, like, you know,
just from one extreme.
Yeah, it was so crazy.
Yeah, I know.
It?
That's why I think like the world wasn't ready for that. You know. And I love like sometimes like people like being like weird, crazy. I think like normal people are boring, you know. So that's why even people, they were like really surprised when they start to see my Instagram, because
when you lick the chicken.
Wow.
What?
So you have to bring it up now.
What do you mean?
Okay, let's go.
Maybe
enjoy.
You brought
is your is your show. Enjoy.
No, but you brought up the Instagram, didn't
okay,
you?
Okay, but why you have to talk about that chicken? What's so special about
because
that chicken?
Because I think that chicken was your 36 chambers. You know, like you can't talk about Wu-Tang without talking about 36 chambers. You can't talk about Patrice Evra without talking about licking the chicken.
Whereabouts did he lick the chicken?
Wow.
Cheek?
Wow.
Basically, Patrice, this is how the story, this is how Patrice told me the story,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
So Patrice wasn't even into Instagram, right? And correct me where I'm wrong, if I'm wrong here, Patrice. So he wasn't into Instagram, and then he saw other people doing Instagram. He thought to himself, I'm going to do a little thing and start putting across my personality on the social media, right? So he started doing these videos. And I've been following you for a long time. Yeah. He's a very likable guy, right?
Yeah. Mm.
He starts doing these funny videos. He'll do cool stuff where he's in the car and he puts on a song and it's like Marvin Gaye, and then he'll go, I love this game. And then, so that you were sort of building up your profile, weren't you? And then he did a video. I don't know what the origins of it were, the idea was, but he basically had a raw chicken.
A dead one, yeah.
Yeah, there's music playing.
Sorry.
There's music playing.
Well.
And he started sort of dancing around it, and sort of, I don't know how to describe it, sort of it was almost like a seductive video around the chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he started licking and kissing the raw chicken.
Oh, it was like a whole chicken, ready to roast it. Yeah. Yeah. It was not just like a breast.
I use a chicken, but it was like for a Thanksgiving video, but I find it funny, but yeah.
So what made you do it? You just thought it was funny?
Yeah, because it was Thanksgiving, and I say I don't celebrate Thanksgiving, so I want to have fun about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I just like cuddle this chicken. I kiss him.
Cuddle
I bite
then.
Him a little did, bit. People wish me, I remember, they wish me the salmonella. I was like, I don't know that woman, and I don't want to meet salmonella. I know Salmon, I've got a friend, his name is Salmon.
I don't want to watch this
but
video.
No, Salmon, no, don't watch it. Don't watch it because you're going to have a different opinion
exactly,
of myself.
Yeah.
And I don't want it.
It was funny. I don't know what.
No, like I say, like when I did this video, I was like, some people find it funny.
How many people watched that video?
Oh, it was like It was like more than 3 million. It was like big.
Yeah.
Yeah, they talk a lot about this video.
When did you realize that it had gone big? So you posted it.
Soon as I posted, my heart tell me to, man, what have you just done? You know, when you press like send, and it was too late. Because I'm someone, when I do something, no matter the consequence, like I stick to.
So you would never have deleted it?
Wouldn't have.
No. Some people like say you have to delete it. Like even people working for my company, I was like, if you say that again, I will fire you. I stick. I did it and I don't regret it, because after the vegan people weren't happy, so I did as well the vegan version.
Yes, I remember.
Some
flowers,
eating some flowers, trees. Stuff.
Cuddled
like
some trees.
Yeah.
Not as dangerous, though.
How many hits?
No, it wasn't dangerous, but even this one was like, I would say 2 million. So, but they were happy, and I explained, like, I'm fine, guys. So I don't have any salmonella because people think I eat that chicken, because that's what people say. Oh, you eat that chicken? I say, no, my friend, I didn't eat that chicken. I just like cuddling, show some love to that chicken. So
It's a really, it's a good video, and it's still up on your Instagram, isn't it?
Yeah, you can go and watch it if you like.
I strongly recommend it. I mean, I've watched it loads of times. You don't need to tell me.
Wow.
Okay. I've watched it a lot.
No problem.
So, you listen to Wu-Tang, you listen to Cypress Hill, Only Insane in the Memory. Did you ever play, when you were at United, did you ever have control of the playlist?
Of course.
And what would you put on?
No, I was the DJ, but to be fair, like, before every game, I was in my room doing the playlist. So at least I will say like it was like 10 songs before we have to.
So you would spend some time putting together
always.
A different one every time?
Always different every time. And it's funny because on my Spotify playlist, you can have like game. It was like, I don't know, against Arsenal, Champions League final, like stuff like that. Last game of Ferguson, stuff like that. I always, that's why it was really important for me, for my teammate, to make sure like they feel good before the game. So I was doing that that playlist, and I put every song. It was not hip hop. It could be like some Frank Sinatra, because I know the boss love it. Dance, hip hop, Bob Marley, of course. Like for example, when we won the Champions League in 2008, the first song was like Bob Marley, "Don't Worry, Be Happy," and everyone, when they hear that song, now they think about the Champions League, about the in the dressing room. Don't worry, everyone singing before the game. You know, a lot of tension, and you know this kind of stuff I've done. They make me so proud. And yeah, I take my time for my teammate. But like I say, I could, like, sometime I will put my old song. Rio Ferdinand will like it, and some people, but some people like Paul Scholes maybe won't like
it. Paul Scholes not a hip hop fan?
Nah, at all. Not at all.
Gary Neville?
He's pop. No, they are more like pop, and actually they love, because every time I was putting some pop music, but one day I've done something wrong, but for me it was like good. I put a song of Oasis, and you know, City fan.
Yeah, yeah.
And Wonderful, you know, Wonderwall. Yeah, yeah. I put it and I start singing, and Scorsese just like turned it off.
He turned it off?
He turned it off. I was like, Scorsese, he said, you can't listen to that kind of song, yeah? I was like, are you serious? The song is so good, man. Every time when my first time I come in England, like, that's why people were singing, and I loved it. He said, you don't put that song, so I have to skip it.
Wow.
Yeah, to tell you how strong it is.
But you are Man United through and through. So once you knew that the Oasis were City fans, did that put you off, or you still listening?
No, I still listen, because I think, like, I give you an example. When Carlos Tevez went to Manchester City, of course I was really upset.
Yeah.
And it was like a picture before a game. It was me and Carlos Tevez in a restaurant. And I remember Ferguson came and he said, Patrice, this is the first and last time I saw a picture of you with Carlos Tevez. Because he played for City now. Yeah. I was like, boss, I'm sorry, but Carlos Tevez is like my brother.
Yeah.
And even if I have like to go in his house after the game, I will. So he respect that. I am someone, I understand the hate and the rivalry. Yeah. But when I love something, I don't judge like the artist. I'm just like, if I love Oasis, I will listen to Oasis.
Yeah. Fair enough. And you're very much like, I mean, you're like this podcast, actually, because you like your sort of 90s era hip hop, right? Do you listen to any more like new stuff? I mean, what are you listening to now, hip hop wise?
No, it's difficult to listen to new stuff, Ron. But I love beats. I love their new beats. Like, I can like put you some Young Thug and when Lil Wayne. But it's just when you listen the lyrics, that's when you feel like too old, or you feel like. The new generation are listening those kind of words, like with the N-word, like bitch, like stuff like that. You know, I'm like, the beat is nice, but when you listen to the word, and especially my kids, because they understand English, that's when I realize it's completely wrong, you know? But it's a new generation, so I can't, like, judge them, but it's just like if Tupac and Biggie, people like this, were still alive, it won't be any room for people like Lil Wayne, like Young Thug, like stuff like that, you know.
But Biggie and Tupac used the N-word and said bitch and stuff like that, didn't they? So
yeah, but I just feel like at least it was a story. They can have really like, I will say, bad song.
Yeah, as in
The Dear Mama,
like
song like that. So he's like a relationship with his mother and stuff like that. It's like more creativity. Now I just feel like you put a good beat and everything is with the computer. Now everything is the computer, so they change your voice. I made a song with my nephews, and I sing the I Love This Game song.
Have you put it out?
Yeah, I put it out. It's on Spotify.
Is it?
If you go on I Love This Game, it's on Spotify.
Do you spit some bars?
No, I just say I love this game. Don't really care. I just do like just. But you can see they change my voice, and I'm like, wow, actually I've got a great voice. Actually, no. I'm just scream when I sing. So to tell you, yeah, like I'm like mixed, but like you say, I can be like with young people listening, because I know all the moves. I love dancing. But if you tell me like the moment where I will be really like, you know, in, when I will put some DMX, like stuff like that, that's when I will feel it like, you know, more than those songs. Those songs I will just like play and, you know, not they won't touch me.
Right. So you feel like... So would you say you're not a fan of new hip-hop at all?
You still got, like, people like Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
You know, Jay-Z, G. Cole.
Yeah.
You know, you still got some people, like... But I just feel like the new generation, they don't want that. They will listen it quickly. It's more like for us. They will listen to it, but they don't want that.
Yeah.
They want, like, the beat, the bitch and everything.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
They don't want that.
So it's a weird one, isn't it? Because it's like... Because people will often say that quality hip-hop doesn't get made now. And it does, but it's not the... I mean, Kendrick is massive, obviously. Mm. J. Cole isn't as big, but he is still big.
Mm.
But it feels like good hip-hop's still being made. But most of the mainstream stuff, or most of the stuff that...
The big sellers
yeah. are that kind of stuff you're talking about.
But they won't go in the radio. They won't. Yeah. You won't hear them in the club or the radio. But like you say, in US, they are maybe the big sellers. And stuff, yeah. But they won't because... I don't know, the media, they don't want that anymore. They just want, like, easy stuff.
Yeah.
Like that guy, what's the 6ix9ine?
Yeah, 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 Tekashi 6ix9ine, yeah.
Black. No, seriously, Rob. But the beat, when you listen to it, you will start, like, to get in and even, like, dance about it. But when you listen to the lyrics, it's, like, horrible.
It's a lot like, I think it's like Chinese takeaway, those kind of things. Do you know what I mean? In terms of like, you sort of get into it for the thing, but you're not keeping anything from that song afterwards, are
you? That's what I mean. Like, Rom, everyone can sing now.
Yeah.
Everyone. Like, even myself, I sing. Yeah. I made a song to tell you.
But you can sing.
I can sing.
No, but you can actually sing. I mean,
I'm focused, I think I will be, because I used to rap when I was young.
Yeah.
So
did you?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the bars? You must have rapped in French, right?
Yeah, in French.
You got anything for
us? It was in French, yeah. I can say like, je te dis sincèrement, je fais pas de sentiments parce que les sentiments font perdre trop de temps. Or le temps, c'est l'argent. Alors qu'est-ce que t'attends? Enlève ton froc, poche plus de froc, je suis pressé. C'est bientôt l'heure, mais en plus bientôt l'heure d'aller bosser.
Yes, man.
Yeah. Do you understand?
What were you saying?
I heard the word something about money.
I say like, no, je te dis sincèrement. I say like, I don't lose my time. I need to make my time to make some money.
There we go.
I don't have like any feeling. If you're not happy, I will take off.
What? If you're not happy, I'll take off what?
Leave it
take
there.
No, go on.
No, leave it there.
No, go on. If you're not happy, I'll take off.
I will take off your pants and kick you in your
ass. Take off your pants?
I'll take off your pants and kick you in the ass. Is that what that lyric is?
Yeah, I was like 11.
Because the start of it feels quite entrepreneurial.
No,
I know, but if you
translate it, but I also have like song, like, you know, different. So it's not. But this one is like
you making a statement about who you are. I'm trying to use my time to make some money. And if you don't like it, I'm going to remove your pants and kick you in the ass.
Give me a cuddle.
There we go.
What do you mean? I'm just saying, that is what it is, isn't it?
Leave me alone.
Do you listen to any French hip hop? Because I remember, should I tell you who I used to love? NTM.
Yeah, of course, but that's my time.
Right.
NTM, you know. But now I don't listen like French hip hop, but that's my time, like NTM and all of this, because they also have a message.
Yeah. Je t'explique ce que je kiffe, c'est de fumer des spliffs et puis de construire des riffs qui soient compétitifs. Pouvoir faire de la musique tout en gardant mon éthique. Faire du fric sans jamais tâcher l'image de ma clique. C'est fou, mais c'est comme ça, je me nourris de ça, j'ai besoin de ça, mon équilibre dépend de ça. Je suis sur le mic, mec, et puis j'aime ça. J'aime quand ça fait pas, quand ça vient d'en bas, et puis quand c'est pas, pour finir.
Now, French hip hop is mixed with African song and logo beat, they call it. So it's not like too much, but it's still like the artists are like much better than people in America just talking. So they still got.
So there's a substance to French hip-hop.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
If you listen that. But it's like really strange because I don't like too much like French music.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a substance. That's why, like, when French people you translate, when they say they can't listen that music, they can't listen like US music because the translation in French will make absolutely no sense.
Right.
Absolutely. And they need to. It need to be a history behind the song.
The disadvantage that UK hip hop had compared to French hip hop, because French hip hop has always been very strong, right? Mm. The advantage is, if you're French and you're into hip hop, there's somebody talking in your language. Whereas in England, you know, why would you go to a UK hip hop? You know, like when I was growing up, why would you go to UK hip hop if Americans are already talking the language that you understand? Do you know what I mean? Whereas,
yeah, completely agree with you.
So UK hip hop was never gonna. I mean, now obviously the UK scene is amazing, but then I remember thinking, French hip hop was massive. And people going, how come French hip-hop can do so well and UK hip-hop can't? But the reason is obvious, do you know what I mean? Because
Easy, and you make like a massive point.
What did you think about Solar?
So MC Solar, yeah. MC Solar is for me is like a poet.
Yeah.
Like it's like when you listen to MC Solar, you feel like it's someone is so intelligent. Someone is like Mozart, you know, yeah. Stuff like that. Le vent souffle en Arizona. Un état d'Amérique dans lequel Arizona. Cowboy dingue, du bang bang, du flingue, de l'arme, du cheval et de quoi faire la bringue. Poursuivi par Smith et Wesson, Colt, Derringer, Winchester et Remington. Il erre dans les plaines, fier, solitaire. Son cheval et son partenaire. Parfois.
And he crossed over. Americans were loving him. Right? He did a song.
Yeah, no, yeah. He was, yeah, with Missy Elliott. Yeah, zigzag. Oui, j'ai dû zigzag. But. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This was like my time. Yeah,
is he still performing, Solar?
I don't know. I'm not follower, but you know, and I don't know. Oxmo Puccino as well is one. This was like similar to MC Solar.
I don't know Oxmo Puccino.
Yeah, he's like really.
I love that name.
When Oxmo Puccino when he rape, he just like if you feel like he just tell a story.
Right.
He just talk. He nice. He's not like the beat go, but him is like telling a story. Yeah, very good. Yeah. You should like listen to
it. Okay, I'll check it out. And do you listen to any British stuff? You can be honest.
No, I'll be honest with you. No.
Okay.
No, it's more like pop. Actually, I have.
Do you like Stormzy or anyone? I mean,
no, no. Stormzy, I listened a few songs about him, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the way he sings because you can see he's a message for the new generation.
Yeah.
So he's the one I will like. Sometime I listen to some song and I will leave it and listening and I was like, wow.
I straight away picked out who his favourite UK artist was.
Yeah, he's
because we've got a connection.
I know. No, he's him because he has such a like a powerful and strong message. You can see when he sings with his heart, and you can see he really want like people to listen his music, like to do something about their life. You know, he want to be like a role model, and I love that. Yeah. And also like his voice and his lyric are amazing.
Yeah. I think he'd like Kano.
I think you would. Yeah, we should. Yeah, that's a good idea. Patrice, you should listen to Kano.
Listen to
man,
his
I'm
new
more
album.
Than, I'm more than like you text me, you send me like
I will
a song.
Do. I will. Do.
I will listen.
But you don't reply to my text message. That's a, it.
There we
feels.
Go. There
it
we
feels
go. Again. It's here to embarrass me.
I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to embarrass you.
I told you.
How is that embarrassing for you?
Because you have the wrong number. Because you have the wrong number, and you remember I asked you to come. We say like when I can come to your show and or your podcast or you call it
yeah,
show
podcast yeah.
Your show is a podcast
yeah.
So why is not any camera? Because when I do my podcast, you can see it was like
I know, but you're doing it in a camera. Different. You're doing it in a different way.
Ah, okay. So you're doing your radio.
You think we should film it?
I think you should film it. It will be
yeah,
like
but we
more funny.
We did. We filmed Patrice's one, and I say we filmed it. The one I did with Patrice's filmed.
Yeah.
They filmed it in the fucking noisiest place.
Yeah, it was like because they know it was Romesh coming. So it wasn't like someone really
right,
important
yeah.
or big.
Yeah,
and cool. That's when like I promise you, we did our podcast.
Well, who else have you had on your podcast?
I have Neil Oran.
Yeah, from One Direction.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was very good.
Yeah,
it was very good.
Right. Who else have you had?
I had. Now after I do like another different podcast
right.
where I am with the like footballer player like with Paul Pogba. I've done one with Jamie Redknapp.
Yeah, how was Jamie's one?
Former guest.
Jamie was nice. Yeah, I'm a guest. Yeah, was really nice. I did with Lisa Freestyle. Actually, is the one I have to.
Lisa Freestyle.
Yeah,
she's
the little girl.
Yeah, like, she's unbelievable.
I know.
Okay, I need to talk to you about this. Sorry, I know we've gone off the track with hip hop a bit. I was amazed that you did a video with her, right?
Yeah.
Because I saw her on her, I follow her on Instagram, right? So she's this freestyle footballer, and she's amazing, right? So they do all these tricks and stuff like that, and she's huge. And every now and again, she her thing is she can nutmeg anyone, right? She'll nutmeg anybody, right? So there's all these guys, random people she has in her videos, and they're trying to stop her from nutmegging them, and she does it every single time. And then I click onto it, and you went on it, right?
Yeah.
And which is great, obviously, because... But I thought that shows guts by you because you're a professional footballer and then you're going on there to potentially get mugged off. I mean, were you...
Did she?
She did.
You want the real story?
Go on. Go on.
First of all, like, before I meet her, I say, you know, we went to his house and she showed around the house and I was like, if you make me, I will broke your leg. Like, I don't mind if you...
How old? Woman
or,
19.
I will broke your leg because, yeah... You want the you want equality, you will have the equality.
Yeah.
So we did it, and for like 15 minutes she didn't make me because you know I was like strong and pushing her and everything. Yeah. So after at the end I left one because even like the producer and my brother were like, Patrice, I said no, I told you if she make me I broke her leg, so it's 50-50, so you have to choose. And at the end she did it, but I let do it.
And we hope, listen, we just a message to Lisa, we hope your leg heals soon.
Yeah,
sorry for what Patrice did.
Freestyling.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure. I don't like, even on the pitch, I was always like, or the ball or the man. When it's both, I will have some nightmares, or I don't like any nightmares, so yeah.
Yeah. I know, mate. I hated you. I hated you.
Thank you. But why you keep saying that?
No, so I'm just telling you. It's
I'm
a compliment.
Scared, like, I know, because I feel your love, but you're talking too much about hate, and I'm
no,
scared,
but I'm,
just, like,
I'm
your
complimenting
love,
you. That's how good like, you are. Okay. Do you remember when Luis Figo, when he switched, he made the switch?
Yeah.
And they put the Spanish fans put up the sign, we hate you you so because we loved you so. Do you know what I mean? That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I mean? Really appreciate it. But to be fair, like, when I went to... Thierry Henry and we watched a game at the Arsenal Stadium and people were like, you know what, Patrice, some fans, they were like, we hate you but we respect you.
Yeah.
That's the way they were they were saying.
To be fair, you're good mates with Thierry, aren't you?
Yeah, really really good relationship. Even when we playing with the French national team, we were sharing the same room and because we grew up to the same street, you know, Les Ulis. And actually, you know, Les Ulis is the only, I would say, street in the world they win like every major trophy, like big trophy. Because me and Henri and Martial, if you accumulate all trophy and the league we play, like we won everything.
We got to talk about hip hop again in a minute, but you got like this fitness thing, right?
Yeah.
What's the deal with this?
It's just amazing. So, I think like because people know me how much I like to be fit and, you know, like to doing like sometimes some CrossFit and, you know, when I was... I was the player was playing the most, and I played until 38 years old. So, guys, they come, a company, they come, and they say, Patrice, you know, we want to know your secret. You know, I said, I don't have any secret. I just, like, love to train every day, even if I retire, and I eat properly. So they say, okay, Patrice, can you tell us what you're eating? And I give them, like, the kind of food I'm eating and how many hours I train per day, you know. Sometimes I wake up in the morning because I'm lucky enough and blessed to have a gym at home, so... I don't even like wash my teeth. I go with my boxer in the gym and start walking. It's just like an adrenaline. It's like a drug for me. And they say, I think we should do like fitness program because you can help like and inspire more people. And they say, but it's one problem. You need to get fat. I was like, wow. Oh, you want me? Like I eat. So they say for 1 month, no gym, eat like burger, chocolate, like drink Coca-Cola. Don't drink like Coke. Like, stuff like that.
Basically became us for a month.
Yeah. So I did it for 3 weeks and you can see the picture on the left.
I've seen the picture.
Like, yeah.
I've seen the picture.
How much weight did he put on?
I think 3 kilos.
Right. So you know what? I'll tell you. So I've seen this picture and there's a picture of him before and a picture when he's returned back to his normal thing.
Mm.
I think after years of training and eating right, I could get to the before picture.
No, Rom, is inside your head, Rom. It's inside your head. I think, like, if you do it, like, properly, trust me. And that's why I reprove to the people, like, because people... I've got, like, the base and, you know, I'm already fit. But that's why my big brother, you see him, like, Dom, because I don't understand why he's so tall, because...
Dom is terrifying.
Yeah, I know, but me, why I'm so small, so short, you know? And I think, like, sometimes maybe my dad, for me, was really tired because I'm the last one. So he maybe put some lemon inside, or I don't know. I'm so short and he's so big.
Put some lemon inside.
Is there another chicken?
I don't know, something maybe inside the chicken, but why I'm so short and him is so tall.
What do you mean put some lemon inside?
He was tired. Oh, he didn't have his normally
There's no science in what you're saying. He was tired.
You know what I'm going to say, but I have so much respect for my mother, so leave me alone, Rom, before we fight here in your podcast.
So in your pants. He's going to take your pants down and kick you in the ass.
Yeah, I know.
There we go. So, no. So this program, I will do it with my... okay. I send my brother to... But every time he finds some excuse, no, I have a problem here in my back. And so I want him to do it so people will know like it's something.
Yeah,
but actually, a lot of people, they already download the program and they are happy with it.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip-hop album?
What would you say is your favorite hip-hop album of all time? Do you have a favorite?
Wow, it's
give me a few.
It's difficult. It's difficult, but it's me. When I say favorite, it's an album when I don't skip.
Yeah,
I like the Dre album.
Which one?
It's the Chronic 2000. Mm.
Yeah. Well, the 2001.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like this one, but it's some album of Method Man, but I just don't remember the title of the album.
Tikal.
Tikal was good.
Yeah,
but to be fair, Life After Death of B.I.G. Yeah. That's the one also.
Yeah?
Yeah. Your reign on the top was short like leprechauns as I crush so-called Willies, thugs, and rapadons. Get in that ass, kick fast like Ramadan. It's that rap phenomenon, Don Dada. Fuck Papa, you got to call me Francis M.H. White intake like toast, tote iron. Was told in shootouts, stay low and keep firing. Keep extra clips for extra shit. Who's next to flip on that cat? You like Biggie and Tupac? Are you Biggie or Tupac or both? I'm both.
Okay. Equally.
I think Tupac inspired me more.
Right.
Because he could acting and doing more stuff. And
yeah.
I just think like Tupac was an inspiration for the new generation. And Biggie's flow.
Yeah.
You know, it's so cool when you listen to Biggie, man, you chill, man.
I know.
His feel like, his, you know what I mean?
Was just,
you know what I mean?
Rhinoceros, the rap. Biggie took a loss. Hippopotamus is that. Oh,
it was all the dream, you know? But I can't compare them because for me, they are like.
I found Biggie more inspirational mainly because of his build and his eye. You know?
Wow. So,
no, but also
I don't want to get involved on this. So
no, but I'm just saying, like, if you're looking for somebody to relate to, I get why you relate to Tupac.
I get it.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
But you're not joking. You're being serious.
Yeah.
Rom, I never know when you're getting serious. So I don't know if I have to laugh or if I'm like, wow, that's a good thing you just said.
That is a sign of a great comedian when somebody doesn't they don't know whether they should laugh or not.
Do both and we'll sort it out in the
edit.
Yeah, I don't know. We're great. I'm happy for you.
Is there anything about hip hop that you don't like?
Wow. No, maybe if they get too violent.
What's your attitude towards that? Do you think you should be able to say whatever you want on?
Yeah. Yeah, I think freedom. But it's difficult because when you say like everything you want to say, sometimes you hurt people, but unconsciously. So I want you to speak free, but I don't want you at the same time hurting people.
Yeah.
But every human being are different. Like sometimes you will say something like people will love, like for example, no, I won't go back to that. To that. But for example, I will say something and you won't like it, but Rom will laugh about it.
Yeah.
So everyone have a different, we are human beings, we're all different. So, but I'm like someone, like I think everyone have to be free.
Yeah.
You know, and life is so short.
But then you don't like when they're going on about bitch and N-word and stuff like that. But you think they should be allowed to do it, but you just don't like it.
They're allowed, but it's just like, because I'm mature and I've got the age to understand it. But it's just like when you got your daughter, your 3 years old daughter in the car, and because she will say like bitch or... You know, you will be like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, even like, you know, when I see some babies, like, and it's funny, it's nice, but when you see like some baby girl like twerking, you know, I'm like, what's going on? You know, if she's twerking at three, what's she gonna do when she's
five.
Going to be? Yeah, five.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice. People will laugh. Hey, everyone will like clap and everything. But the message is like, wow. You mean like, when maybe the dad is at work, like her mom, she's watching video or she's like even like twerking in the front of the mirror. So it's difficult. You know, I don't want like to judge anyone. Like I'm not here to educate because I think education is really difficult. But yeah, sometimes you can be like, wow, be careful.
Okay, so what are you listening to at the moment? Are you listening to anything? What album have you got on rotation at the moment?
Like I say, Rom, it depends. Like I wake up, you know, I'm a Motown fan.
Yeah?
I'm a big
Motown
fan. I
know, you've got a lot of...
I think Motown, like, they bring you the joy, the happiness. So Motown is like my music, like really touch me right now. But it's crazy. Like I can be in the shower and put some Pavarotti, opera. You know, I'm really, I can switch like to Wu-Tang, to Pavarotti. That's why my brothers sometimes they don't understand.
Where did he get Pavarotti?
Yeah, I listen to Pavarotti.
And what mood do you have to be in to put on Pavarotti?
It's a mood when you in the morning and you like when you're happy, you sing and you feel like life is beautiful. Right. Like Louis Armstrong. What's the name of
A Wonderful World? That,
yeah. But as well the ladies, Tracy Chapman.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that, they touch me. And of course Bob Marley is the one.
All right, well, we're going to give you a couple of recommendations, all right? So,
wow.
Kano,
okay.
You're trying to get me to British artists, yeah. Yeah. Kano. I've really got into Koji Radical.
Yeah.
So Jay Huss, just brought out you know Jay Huss?
No, just send me...
Check out Jay Huss, I'll send you all of this. Yeah. So what I'm going to do, what I think we do, Patrice, right,
yeah,
is I'm going to send you some recommendations. I think Rupert's right. I'll send you some recommendations, and then if you can send us... Just send me a voice note with your little review. It doesn't have to be long. Your little review of each thing. We'll put them out on the.
Definitely, but I will tell the truth. So
that's what we want.
If I don't like, I will say wow.
Okay, fine. Yeah. That's what we want.
Okay,
Patrice, it's been an absolute honor to have you on this podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
I love you. You know that.
I love you more.
And you know how much I hated you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The hate. There's no hate here.
But now I love you. So thank you so much for coming on, man.
Yeah. Can I give a little message to all your audience? And
of course, go ahead.
There we go.
Like, no. You know, people, of course, everyone know I love this game, but actually it's a way to live. Like, it's a positive message. It's about loving life. I think the life is so short and unfortunately, when we heard about Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and all the passengers in this helicopter, people start to say like, oh yeah, I need to live. But this, and that's why I feel blessed. And since I grow up, and my mom teach me like every day you go to bed, and you know, some people believe in God, some people don't. But I was like, thanks to be alive and be grateful to be alive. And just, it's just another call, but it's not like me, I will change my life because of what's happening to Kobe. But I'm glad he touched like some people for that. But you should live like every day is your last day. So make sure you love each other, make sure you help people when you can help them, and make sure you make people laugh. That's why I think comedian is one of the best, I will say, job in the world. And keep doing what you're doing, because trust me, like I have a little bit with my Instagram, like when people text me and saying, Patrice, wow, I just lost my dad, but I watched one of your videos and I had a little smile on my face. You don't understand the power you got, so keep doing what you're doing, and thank you for having me, guys.
Patrice Evra, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Thank you. We're out.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.